heaven and stretch them out, who spread out the earth and all comes on it, out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. This is the word of the Lord. Excuse me. Let us read Psalm 45, 6 through 8, responsively. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. All your robes are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia, from palaces adorned with ivory. The music of the strings makes you glad. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. The second reading is written in the Acts of the Apostles. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts people from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message from God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark writes, So John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. promises, promises, that's all I ever get. Or as I remember it from the old popular song, promises, promises, that's all I ever get, that's all I ever get. Okay, so I shouldn't quit my day job. We might think that the person in the song would be glad to get promises, since promises are so wonderful to give and wonderful to receive. We would think this person would be glad. We love promises, after all. We associate promises with all kinds of important moments in life. Weddings, when brides and grooms give promises to each other. That's what that exchange of vows and rings is all about. Inductions of people into public office, like presidents and governors and judges and military personnel, take an oath when they come in to their positions, and that's basically a promise being made. Installations, when you install your new pastor, the pastor will make promises to you, and you will make promises to the pastor, and you will both make promises before God. When pastors are ordained, it's the same thing. The pastor being ordained makes promises, and promises are made to that pastor on behalf of the church. And of course, we make promises in connection with baptism and confirmation. At the font, for a young child, an infant, the parents and sponsors make promises on that candidate's behalf. Or if it's an adult, the adult makes promises in confirmation. Yes, promises will very shortly be made. We talked about this. Make promises in association with all sorts of important moments in life. So if promises are all we get, is that so bad? If promises are all we get, is that so bad? But of course, what are promises without faithfulness? What are promises without faithfulness? The faithfulness of the one who gives the promise, the determination to see the promise through, the will to bring that promise to fulfillment. What are promises without faithfulness? Brides and grooms can make all the promises they want, but unless they are willing to do the hard work of marriage, those promises, those mere wedding vows, will be no strength against the tide of divorce. They will simply fade. Public officials can take all the oaths of office they want, but unless they actually strive for the public good, mere oaths will do nothing to save them from compromise and corruption. They'll just get hooked, like so many do. Parents and sponsors can promise whatever they like at the baptismal font, and confirmants can renew those promises for themselves all they like. But unless they take those promises to heart along with fellow believers, and I'm not just talking to you three, I'm talking to everybody else in the room, so I'm not picking on you, okay? Unless those promises are taken to heart along with fellow believers, then sooner or later, even the promises we make at the baptismal font will fade away. I'm struck then by Mark's gospel when Jesus comes to John at the Jordan for what we would imagine to be a really important moment in his life, yes? Jesus makes no promises, at least not that Mark records. In fact, in Mark's telling, Jesus doesn't say anything at all. Jesus doesn't say anything at all. The only promise we hear comes to Jesus as he comes up out of the water. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. It's the only promise spoken at Jesus' baptism. And actually, we don't hear the promise so much as overhear the promise, as we are gathered there at the Jordan with all those other people. The promise is spoken directly to Jesus, no one else, directly to Jesus by what Mark describes as a voice from heaven. You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased. Like the guy in the song, this promise is all that Jesus gets. Read Mark. This promise is all that Jesus gets. And yet, this promise is enough to drive him into the wilderness, and from the wilderness on back to Galilee. This promise is enough to lead him into his whole ministry of preaching and teaching and healing. This promise is enough to bring him to Jerusalem, to bring him to his cross, to bring him to his death, to bring him to his rising. Jesus' whole life, in fact, pours out from this one promise. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. His whole life pours out from there. It's a promise that all of us here share who are washed with Christ Jesus in water, including Maria Peroni, who was baptized this morning, and Chris and Kirsten and Morgan here, who were baptized oh so long ago and who affirmed their baptism this day. Our whole life as God's people pours out of this promise. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are my beloved. With you, I am well pleased. I claim you as my own. You are mine, says the voice of God. And in that promise is all of God's faithfulness, all of God's determination, all of God's will. In that promise is all of God's mercy and God's grace and God's love pouring out over us, pouring out into us, when even our own promises falter, when even our own promises fail, when even our own promises fade, even when life gets in the way of the promises that Maria's mom and sponsors and Maria herself have made at the font this morning at the first service. Even when life gets in the way of the promises that you three here will make at the font, affirming your baptism, even when life gets in the way of the promises any of us make to God or to one another, even then, God's voice echoes from the waters of the Jordan, you are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased. Even still, God's voice echoes from the waters of our own baptism, you are my son, you are my daughter, you are my beloved, with you I am well pleased. No one and nothing can take that away from you. You can't even give it away. Still, God's promise pours over us. Still, God's promise washes over us. Still, God's promise fills us to the brim. So yes, promises are all we ever get. And aren't we glad? So let everyone say amen.